Boomer is talking sports in the morning. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time for a little conversation with Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Eastside Kia. Dare to compare with throwback pricing. Save $5,000 on a 2014 Kia Rondo LX, only $18,460 or $87 bi-weekly. For the first 15 months, it is Eastside Kia. Good morning, Stephen.
You don't hear a lot of Huey Lewis these days, do you?
Yeah, for no apparent reason either.
I guess not.
Don't know why that would be.
It's very good of you guys to keep him in the public eye.
That's
you
right.
Know who else you don't hear?
Who?
Doug and the Slugs.
Well, yeah, I think there's reasons for that, though.
What? Poor Doug.
Yeah.
Doug's dead.
That's the reason.
Yeah. We've already discussed, as you can imagine, this morning. Rhett played against Matt Cook.
Yep.
Rhett, we've all watched Matt Cook. I know it's been a long time since he's done something egregious, but all it takes is one incident, and it's fresh in all of our minds, and you blame Matt Cook, you blame the Minnesota Wild, you blame the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're the ones that employ him. I'm just sick of seeing this guy.
Yep. Although, you know, I was just reading, my friend Damien Cox, writing the Toronto Star today, points out that under NHL disciplinary rules, he will not be treated as a repeat offender because they wipe your slate clean after 18 months.
What a joke.
So,
what a joke, right?
So that's going to be a very interesting decision. Who is it? Stephen Quintal now, right, has that gig. The Brendan Shanahan, Coley Campbell gig. And technically, he should be treated as a first-time offender. So I don't know how you can do that. Kind of morally, how you can look at that and say, well, you know, this is just, we're going to treat it like this is the first terrible thing he's ever done. But I think according to the rules, that's what they have to do. So, you know, be prepared for this maybe to be not the most earth-shaking suspension and fine that you've ever heard of. You know, that said, it's as egregious as anything. There's all kinds of stuff happens, and a lot of times we can debate hits and say, did a guy turn away at the last minute? Did somebody really elevate to make a headshot? Was it a shoulder? Was it an elbow? And you sit there and roll back the tape and slow it down and try and decide whether something's dirty or not. With this one, you only have to watch it once.
You know, and here's the other part of it. How is it that Matt Cook, not only does he do this stuff, but it seems like every time the recipient is out, that this either needs to be stretchered or carried or limps off and is injured for a significant amount of time. And this time it's Tyson Berry. They're saying 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL tear. Every time the guy gets seriously injured.
Well, it is when you do to someone what he did to Tyson Berry, when you drag your leg like that and it's knee-to-knee contact and you're prepared for it and the other guy isn't, and you can almost see the wheels turning in his head in that one, that's what I think is going to drive people crazy when they watch it over and over again, is the sense that he looks up, he sees the guy, he knows exactly what's about to happen, he's got his leg dragging there. It's as close to, straightforward, premeditated, I'm going to injure someone as I've ever seen. Because that's what, it's one of the, if you want to hurt somebody, you want to hurt somebody in a hockey game, that's how you hurt them. That's how you hurt them, because something has to give, and usually it's knee ligaments.
I'd pass on the suspensions if someone could get him. As terrible as that sounds, you almost just hope at some point he has to pay the piper.
Yeah.
Because two wrongs don't make a right, blah, blah, blah. But he has done enough damage to enough guys and ruined careers that, I mean, the Savard one for me is the one that sticks out. You don't get a chance to win the Stanley Cup. What? You're lucky if you get a chance. And take that away from him, take away years of his playing career, end him. It's too much.
Yeah, it is. But as I said, just be prepared.
Because, yeah, well, I know.
Because you may not feel justice is done by the time this is ruled on. I see he is going to get an in-person meeting, which always tells you that it's going to be more than a game or two. But in terms of them absolutely throwing the book at this guy, you know, it may be that Kintel's hands are tied here in a way that we hadn't anticipated. I hadn't thought of that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that there was kind of that your record was erased after 18 months.
So 18 months is what? If you don't make the playoffs, 2 seasons of hockey?
That's right. That's right. No, it doesn't sound right to me. I'm sure it was negotiated, as part of the larger, collective agreement. But it doesn't seem right. Again, you want the chance for guys, and people who have looked at have made the case, lately that Matt Cook has cleaned up his act. That he's been a different hockey player the last 2 or 3 years. And in terms of disciplinary stuff, he has. But that one, that's as bad as I've seen. In terms of just, I'm going to hurt somebody. I've got an opportunity here. The guy's vulnerable. It's not in the heat of the moment. It's not a hockey play. A quote hockey play unquote. It's just pure dirty intent to injure, and the kind of injury which can, which heals but can change a guy's entire career, and then it's just inexcusable, absolutely and completely inexcusable, and of course coming from the guy it comes from. It would seem to be part of a pattern.
Stephen Brunt for Eastside Kia is our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Tonight, the first of the first round series can come to an end as the Montreal Canadiens can put the wraps on the Tampa Bay Lightning. What have you seen through 3 games? Montreal, the atmosphere, the energy in that building was almost tangible. Even watching from half a country away on television, you could feel it.
Yep.
I don't know that this is Cinderella or anything like that, but it sure seems like the Lightning are done.
Yeah, I think they're done. I think that I think for them to have had a chance in this series, they would have had to get, they would have needed great goaltending, and I'm not sure they could have got that without Ben Bishop. It hasn't been as good as they would have needed. They're not that deep, right? They're not a deep team, and once you get past Stamkos, they just haven't got a lot of guys who can, change a game. And Montreal is getting, very good goaltending from Carey Price when they need it. They're deeper, they're better. And it's just it's really been a pretty one-sided 3 games in a lot of ways. I'm not sure if Montreal's a team that can win a Stanley Cup. But that said, you look at the way the East is unfolding right now. Boston kind of got their act together in the second game against Detroit, but they looked like there was a way to shut them down in that first game. Pittsburgh, I think, just may have saved that series with Columbus last night, but they looked overwhelmed at the beginning and they looked very beatable. Montreal. If Price plays really, really well, and they're deep. They can. I think they can compete with everybody in the East right now.
Well, and what do we know about the playoffs and goaltending? If you got it, you can go a long ways, and they might have one of the best in the game
when he's on. And he's just you can always tell with Carey Price because if he's stopping stuff, if he's square up on the puck, and not kind of frantic, if it's hitting him in the chest. He's on, and right now he's got that look where everything, he's kind of square up on everything. He can still make the spectacular stops, but a lot of what he does is you just watch where he is in the net and watch his positioning. He looks to me like he's seeing the puck and seeing the game really, really well. And that's the kind of run I saw. I saw him run to a Calder Cup once in the AHL right after they won the World Juniors. He played for the team here in Hamilton and was untouchable through an entire playoff run there. He's got it in him, and this is a guy who could be who could keep this going right to June.
Want to, and we're out of time, but I do want to ask you about the death of Reuben Hurricane Carter. I think for a lot of us, probably it predates us, but we're familiar because of the fantastic film The Hurricane, starring Denzel Washington. But truly, more than just a fighter, more than just an athlete, as we saw through that film.
It's quite a story, I wrote about him for Sportsnet.ca, so if people want to read a little bit more, there is a piece there. I knew him after he came to Canada, after he was freed from prison, where he was wrongfully held for 20 years. The movie is fiction. It's not the real story. It's more complicated than that and more messy than that. and a lot of the relationships he had later on fell apart. He was a difficult guy in a lot of ways, and there were a lot of people, you know, who had a part in the story whose motives weren't entirely pure. You know, it's kind of sad but telling that when he died this week, you know, in Toronto, none of those people, you know, the Canadians in the movie and all those people who helped get him out of jail and, you know, the Bob Dylans and all the people who no one was in contact with him anymore. The only guy who was with him was a guy named John Artis, who was the guy he was arrested with in 1966 and who went to jail and who refused to roll over and implicate Carter in those murders. You know, John Artis came up here and stayed with him the last year of his life. So, you know, I say kind of sad, kind of telling. You know, Rube was no saint, I'll tell you that. But he did some very, very good things after he got out of jail for people who were in the same position he was in. That is, you know, that who were convicted of crimes they did not commit.
Sportsnet.ca for that, Steve?
Yes, sportsnet.ca.
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you later in the week.
See you, guys.
There he is. That's Stephen Brunt. I would check that out, and I will be checking that out here momentarily after a quick timeout. We'll come back with a tee-off Tuesday for Speargrass Golf Course, where every day is a great day. A former member of the tour, now part of the Sportsnet staff, he's Ian Leggett. We'll chat a little golf with Mr. Pinder and Mr. Leggett when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Talking golf right now. This is Tee Off Tuesday with Ryan Pinder, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, you might not know by looking outside, but yes, golf season upon us. It is Tee Off Tuesdays brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, where every day is a great day. Speaking of which, Saturday, opening day at Speargrass. Make your reservations now. Yeah, that's right. Very exciting. 403-901-1134. We welcome Ian Leggett, former Tour Pro and Sportsnet's Golf Insider, to Tee Off Tuesdays. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well. I don't know how the weather is doing in Ontario, but we look like we're close. We get snow. We look like we're close. We get more snow. Golf season just about getting going here in southern Alberta.
Yeah, we're warming up a little bit here, but it is definitely a very, very slow, late start to the golf season here as well.
Now, I saw you on Twitter. Were you at the Raptors game one of that Nets and Raptors series?
No, I wasn't. I was just watching it on TV and aggravated.
You weren't happy with the officiating, which is the story of the NBA, right?
I don't know. It's one of those sports that just frustrates me, but I just keep going back. But the same thing happens all the time. The officiating is always terrible.
What's the buzz like there? We will get to golf, I promise. But, you know, there's tens of thousands of fans outside the ACC for Game 1. Is this excitement or is this a flash in the pan? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, every sports fan in Toronto is starved for playoff anything right now, especially with the disappointment of what happened to the Leafs this year. But I think that, the Raptors are the real deal. And I think that the Toronto sports fans are very excited about it.
And you'll be glued to your TV set for Game 2 tonight, or you'll be in attendance?
Absolutely. No, TV.
So, big storyline that pops up in terms of my universe, Miguel Angel Jimenez, who was great at the Masters and is a guy that seems to be a threat every year, the world's most interesting man, at least on the golf course, now qualifies for the Champions Tour. Didn't take him long to get his first win.
Well, he just proved, you know, how good a player he is at the Masters. I mean, how many 50-year-olds go out there and, you know, shoot the low score of the week and, you know, there was a lot of talk after two rounds of those 50-year-old guys, and probably, you know, because nobody really pays a whole lot of attention to European Tour golf. It was all about Freddie Couples, and him once again at the Masters playing so well that, you know, Miguel stepping up to the plate and, you know, finishing fourth is unbelievably impressive. So, and for him to just roll that, you know, kind of momentum he had from Augusta into the next week just goes to show that he is a dominant figure. And, you know, when I was playing on the PGA Tour, he played on tour, and he really did not like the culture of the United States and the way that the tour was run, you had to sort of perform on. He didn't like that. He didn't like the sort of overexertion that you've got to put to the game. And he prefers to sit on the patio and have a cigar and a little latte and kind of take it all in. The European Tour is much more friendly, and the Senior Tour is like that, so I expect him to be very successful out there.
Now, is that just the number of tournaments played, or is it more the commitments of the players at events with, say, the public or the media?
I think it's both, you know, and you know, what happens is on the PGA Tour, guys just don't socialize with each other. unless you're at the golf course. And then the European Tour, a lot of those guys travel together. They're all staying because a lot of times they're at smaller, cities and towns that they're all staying in the exact same hotel. There's not as many restaurants to go to, so you're always organizing dinners. On the PGA Tour, that just doesn't happen. You don't really socialize that much with the other players outside the golf course.
I hope we see him in Calgary. We had that fantastic Champions Tour event last summer that everyone was raving about. It'd be really neat to see his stretching routine and the cigar and the ponytail here in Cowtown.
Well, there'd be some great cafes in Cowtown for him to sit down and have that cigar, and it would be great for him to be there because there are a few guys on the PGA Tour and on the Senior Tour that will move the needle with attendance, and I think that the excitement of what he did at the Masters and him being just such a captivating figure, I think he will bring a lot of people out if he shows up in Calgary.
What was he like when you mentioned you were on the tour at the same time? Is he really that diverse of a guy in terms of his routines, or is it just something where it's built up because he does some odd things on camera?
He's always been a bit quirky, and I remember, actually laughing at him one time in the locker room when he actually colored his hair for the first time. I thought, because he's got such curly, bushy hair, I thought he was wearing, a costume. But he found it funny as well, and he's just an interesting guy. He plays the game of golf the way that most people should approach it, and that's just for the fun of it. I mean, he's an unbelievable talent. He's not technically sound when you look at his golf swing, but it's very repeatable. And he's had an unbelievable career when you think about the length of time that he has been successful, both on the European Tour and outside of Europe. I think that, he's one of those guys that will probably have a substantially long career, a Hale Irwin type career on the European, or on the Senior Tour.
It is Speargrass Golf Course's tee-off Tuesdays. We're chatting with Ian Leggett, Sportsnet's Golf Insider. Speaking of just that ability to lengthen your career with a smooth swing or not being hard on your body, what have your thoughts been on Tiger Woods? A lot of people have come out in the last 6 months very critical of how hard he swings, the Navy SEAL-type training that he's gone through because, of course, his father did some service in the military south of the border. Is it too far to make the leap from saying, okay, he swings hard to he's not going to have a lengthy productive career, past 40, 50?
Well, I think you have to look at the body itself, and, he has pushed it very, very hard to get to where he is, and he's always pushing. That's the thing with Tiger Woods. He's always pushing to get better, even when he was the number one player in the world and dominating like he did 10 years ago. He was still trying to get better, and he was still, five steps ahead of everybody else. So, I mean, it's always easy to stand back after the fact and judge. And that's what we're doing. I mean, and he's going to be reflective when that day comes. Is it 10 years or 20 years from now? And go, I may have done it a little differently. I may not have pushed my body as hard because, I've come up short of Jack's record maybe. And he's going to look back on that. But, you don't think about that at the time and the way that you approach things and your personality. So I think that there's a lot of different aspects to Tiger Woods that, people are being very judgmental. But, I mean, at the same time, he is, arguably the greatest player that's ever played the game. So, he's going through a bad time right now. But up until the point where we had seen Tiger Woods, up to 3-4 years ago, he was the greatest player that's ever played the game of golf.
How about Matt Kuchar last weekend? Big bounce back late in that round. Looked like he had a lead that was safe, and then he three whacks from 4 feet or something like that, and then all of a sudden chips in on 18. What a turnaround, a roller coaster for him down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, he's been so due, and he's there every single week. Every week, Matt Kuchar, and once again, we talk about those kind of players that have repeatable, a little bit quirky type golf swings, and he's one of them. I mean, it's repeatable. It doesn't change. He shows up every week. He doesn't do anything great. He just does everything well. So I think that, when it comes to stuff like that, I think Matt Kuchar is going to be around for a long time. And now that he's got a win this year, expect some more great things out of him. And he's one of those guys on that short list of the best players in the world yet to win a major.
Now, where are we at with majors? Obviously, the U.S. Open isn't that far away in June, but it's not there yet. At what point do players start really altering their schedule in terms of rounding into form heading into a major?
Well, the best players in the world do it from the start of the year. I mean, they're already planning their schedule to that they're, hopefully at peak playing condition when those events come around. And most guys as well have played Pinehurst before, and they're going to get out and they're going to play some practice rounds and check it out. So I think there's an opportunity for them to even put more preparation in going into the U.S. Open. So, but Pinehurst is a different type of a golf course. I mean, I think a lot of different people can win there. It's not overly long. It's a shot maker's golf course. It's got severe greens. You know, so when you look at, you know, the differences between Michael Campbell and Payne Stewart, they're both on both ends of the spectrum. So I think that there's a potential to see a surprise winner at Pinehurst this year.
And they're going to host the Women's U.S. Open as well, I think, a week later. What a turnaround. Is this unprecedented, or have we seen something like this before?
No, this is the first time this has ever happened. And the USGA is doing it, you know, for two reasons. Number one, you know, not having the massive expense of setting up two major venues. And a comparative, I mean, getting to see the men and women back to back, I think is going to be intriguing, even though it won't be the same golf course, obviously. But I think it's going to be very intriguing to see how the women perform after you've watched the men play the next week. And I think it's, you know, it can go both ways here. It could be great for the women's game, and it could be detrimental. You know, and what I mean by that, there's, you know, if someone goes out and shoots 3, 4, 5 under par, which, you know, doesn't usually happen at a U.S. Open in the, during the men's event, and the women go out and shoot 12 over, I mean, then you've got an issue, and the USGA's got to be very careful of that this isn't an opportunity to necessarily take away from how great the women players really are on the ladies' tour.
After making her debut on tour as a 12-year-old, Michelle Wee finally has her first LPGA win on North American soil. She did that, I believe, in Hawaii, in her home state, over the weekend. Boy, it's taken her a while. She's 24. But how do you reflect on the first 12 years of her career, so to speak, from this unbelievable teen phenom to now, where she's actually leading the women's tour in money earnings this year?
Yeah, just such a misdirection on her whole career path by her parents. And, you know, the thought of her always, you know, wanting to play with the men and thinking that she was capable of, I think set her back. There's, you know, the biggest thing with Michelle Wee, even as an amateur, she didn't win. She has unbelievable talent, has the talent to dominate the ladies' tour. Her ability, how far she hits it, the compression she has on a golf ball, is very much, you know, like any male player on the PGA Tour. Her problem is that she never learned to win, because her parents kept putting her in fields where she was playing against competition that was so much better than she was at that particular time. So there is no substitute for winning, and it doesn't matter whether you're 10 years old or you're 15 or you're 20. If you don't learn to win, I mean, that's just something that, you know, is built inside of you, and it's on the PGA Tour, it's on the ladies' tour, it's an amateur golf, it doesn't matter what it is. It's something you have to learn how to do, and she never learned how to do it because she was playing against competition that was always going to beat her.
It is TF Tuesdays, brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course. We are chatting with Ian Leggett, our Sportsnet golf insider. Is she exactly what the LPGA Tour needs, given she is an American, she is a household name, even if it hasn't been the resume we all expected 10 years ago?
No, absolutely. And I think people, you know, especially in the United States, they cheer for the underdog. And Michelle Wee came out on the LPGA Tour as this titan that was going to take over, and it didn't happen. And her career has been full of disappointments, and everybody wants her to perform well. She's good for the ladies tour. She speaks well. And she's, you know, she can be the flag bearer for that tour, and it needs it. The ladies tour needs somebody like Michelle Wee. And I'm just hoping that, you know, with this first win, it creates momentum, and that she goes out and wins 10 tournaments this year. That would be amazing for somebody like them. There hasn't been someone like that since Annika that's really taken over the ladies tour. You know, Lorena kind of stepped in there for a little bit following that, but, you know, Michelle Wee is going to be the person that's got to step forward, because they really don't have somebody right now that can carry that flag in the way that she can.
My old man's golfing right now down in the desert in Palm Springs, so I've been collecting his mail. His Golf Digest just showed up in the mailbox, and there's Paulina Gretzky right on the front. The feedback has not been positive from the LPGA Tour, but much like the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated, I'm sure it's moved copies. What's your take on a non-golfer in terms of a non-pro female donning the cover of a golf-specific magazine?
Well, I'm kind of a little bit, and I don't understand it, to be quite honest with you. I get, you know, we all know the reason why that, you know, she's on the cover. It's to sell magazines, but it isn't representative of golf. It's not representative of women that play golf, for sure. And, you know, I think what they're trying to get at, you know, there's a fitness component to that article. But at the same time, you know, it's very sexist, and I think that women on the ladies' tour want to be known for the way they play the game, not necessarily the way they look. But as we all know, you know, the majority of people that watch sports are men. And we, at that same time, you know, when a beautiful woman is playing a sport at a high level, it's more intriguing to the people that are watching the game, men and women. So I think that, you know, that's even more so why someone like Michelle Wee would be a great flag bearer for the ladies' tour. And I'm a perfect example. I mean, I'd never been to ladies' tennis before. And I went to a ladies' tennis match, and I could not believe how great they were, how good of players they were. And I would really love for more people to get out and start watching ladies' golf and find out how great these women really are. And I think with Michelle Wee, I think that's going to have a big impact on the game if she can keep winning. But definitely the sports, the Golf Digest article was just, I think it's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, fair enough. Staying along the lines of what we, I suppose, started with the Raptors, we are the North, or we the North is their slogan for the playoff run here. How are Canadian golfers doing this season? Graham Dalek got off to that hot start. I think he made like $500,000 in the first or two weekends of the year, but has cooled off since. Who else is making news, and where's Graham at?
Well, Graham is, I mean, he's, you know, he's had 5 top 10 finishes in 10 tournaments this year. He's had 2 second place finishes, and, you know, I think the Masters was a bit of a learning experience for him, and he went out there and got beat up the first day because, unfortunately for him, he had to play practice rounds under very, very soft conditions after that storm on Monday, so he didn't get to see the real teeth that Augusta National is, and unfortunately for him, when he teed up on Thursday afternoon, it was baring its teeth, and he hadn't seen that movie yet, so it was a good learning experience for him. He learned quickly by going out and shooting par on Friday, so you know, Graham Dalek's going to be playing in a lot of Masters in the years to come, and, you know, he as well needs to just get over that hump with that first win. As soon as he does that, Graham Dalek's a top 10 player in the world, and there's no doubt about that, and I'm not the only one talking about it. His peers are saying the same thing. So, and, you know, David Hearn's having a nice start to the year, and obviously Adam Hadwin on the Web.com Tour is looking like he'll be on the PGA Tour next year, and that's a guy as well that we've been waiting for to show his talent, and I think just rededication and why he's playing the game of golf is something that's come to him this year. So I think, you know, I think we're going to be pretty plentiful next year on the ladies and men's tour with lots of Canadian great talent.
Ian, always a pleasure catching up. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the Raptors and the Nets tonight.
Thanks.
Okay, that is Ian Leggett, our golf insider for Sportsnet. It is Tee Off Tuesdays, brought to you by Speargrass Golf Course, where every day is a great day. Hey, pick up the phone, give them a call right now, 403-901-1134. They open officially on Saturday, so that's right. Get the clubs out, do your stretching, buy some new golf balls, out you go to Speargrass. We'll pause. When we return, it is what you want to talk about. You drive the bus. Your texts always welcome, 960-960, as we close out another episode of Boomer in the Morning. 939, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Interact with Boomer right now. Text 960-960 to sound off. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Tuesday morning, 9:43. It's,
Finish line in sight, boom.
Yeah.
Feeling better? Same old?
No.
Okay.
We've got, what do we got tonight? Little Blue Jay baseball. The Baltimore Orioles taking on the Jays. R.A. Dickey.
Jip at 6 o'clock. Joined in progress.
He's got to straighten up.
It's time. Be the ace. You're the guy.
Heck, be a three. I'd be happy with that. Miguel Gonzalez going for the O's. He's been equally horrible. 1-3 with an ERA greater than Dickey's. Someone's got to win.
M gone.
What's that?
M gone.
M? Is that what you call him?
I don't know.
Maybe Gonzo? Migonzo?
Sportsnet 360 tonight is where you can find game number 3 between the Rangers and the Flyers. The other games tonight, Tampa Bay, no Ben Bishop. He was on the ice this morning, but their head coach, John Cooper, says there is no chance that he will go tonight, so expect Anders Lind back once again in the nets for the Lightning as they look to stave, and there's a great word that we only use in playoff sports.
Stave off
to
elimination.
Stave off elimination. I'm going to stave off this hunger that I'm feeling, so I'm going to have a sandwich. You never hear that.
Although, now that you say it, I totally agree wholeheartedly. I'd love to stave off hunger with a sandwich.
There you go. Boston, Detroit, they have a game 3. That's a 5:30 start. And the San Jose Sharks, 2-0 lead. They head into Los Angeles for an 8 p.m. game tonight.
Los Angeles.
There you go. It is 9:45. We finish off every show the same way because we're lazy and because we defer to you. All you need to do is go to your phone and
mobile
text
device,
in 960-960 and then a comment or a question, and we will talk about it right here on What You Want to Talk About.
You're in charge.
In their prime, who are you going to take? Wayne? See, I always feel like we need some tunes.
Yeah, well, that'd be good.
You want some, you want the usual,
I'll take anything you've got.
Thank you for
yeah, sure, why not? This works well.
DeForest, you son of a... down the road back you again. Dirty, rotten bastard.
Some good questions coming in on the text line.
It's a little disruptive, I would say. Maybe we can maybe find something a little more cheery. Who are you going to take in their prime? Wayne or Mario, Jack or Tiger?
Well, are we golfing or playing hockey? I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Mario's the better golfer.
Yeah,
Mario's. And I've never seen Jack Nicklaus play hockey. So.
Can I take Paulina Gretzky? Is that off the board? Or?
Well, it says Wayne.
Oh. Well, I don't know. You got to take Tiger for the short term, Jack for the long term. Tiger was his
in their prime.
Yeah. Oh, so
in
Tiger,
their prime.
Take Tiger.
So Tiger was better in his prime than Jack Nicklaus?
Indeed. Oh, well, I'm taking him. He can bench press a car, and Jack couldn't, so that helps. And then I'll take Lemieux in his prime. His points per game were higher before that second comeback from a career. Although that's pretty tough. I also think Wayne's a better player over the course of his career. You?
I don't care.
Very good. At least
have you guys been playing the Beat the Streak MLB app? Are you familiar with the Beat the Streak?
I am. It's what is it? Who holds record?
I haven't done it last. I did it last year. I haven't actually. I kind of forgot about it. You have to pick a hitter every day, and you hope that they get a hit.
Now, was it Willie Mays who had it? It was a 56 game hitting streak, right?
Joe D.
Oh, Joe DiMaggio. Thank you. Yeah. So if you can match the 56 games,
you win
a cool mill, something like that. But who would you take
today? Miguel Cabrera.
I will take Jose Reyes, who's back from that.
I meant to say Miguel
hamstring.
Miguel Gonzalez.
Yeah, because he's playing against Miguel Gonzalez. Miguel Gonzalez will not get an at bat, so that would be a loss.
I know. That's
That was
see, that was going to be the joke kind of thing, but I blew it.
Okay. Which Golden Girl would you take in the prime? Now, prime, that wouldn't be bad.
Betty White. Betty White still. Okay. Betty White today I would take.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Saucy.
That's unusual.
Are you guys coming to Comic-Con this Friday? If so, what are you dressing up as?
Not going. Be at Fairmont. Thank you very much.
Yeah, won't be there.
Got an interesting little story here. Sister's husband has been asked
who
to
you
do,
live with.
On occasion, when I'm bouncing around there. House sitting at the moment. Doing security for some of the scandally clad babes. His buddy running something says we need security, so he's going to put on the dark shirt, sunglasses, just to protect the babes from the masses. Not too upset about the assignment this weekend, I'm told. Sister staying at home. Not interested in going.
Okay.
That's your Comic-Con tie-in.
Was Boone Jenner a top prospect close to home? Yes, he was.
Boone Jenner of the Oshawa Generals, top prospects for home hardware. Go Leafs!
Can't do it today.
That wasn't very good.
I can count at least, this is a text line, I can count at least five prospects that have earned a spot with the Flames next year, so who are we getting rid of?
It's a great question.
I'd be curious to five to start things off.
Well, I'll say Gaudreau, Berchi, Granlin, Wotherspoon, and let's say Reinhardt, just to throw
I would say four of the five probably don't start the year in Calgary.
So who's not starting with Calgary?
I would bet maybe Johnny Gaudreau starts in the A, just to get his feet wet.
Okay.
I don't think Sven's a guarantee. I don't know that Max Reinhardt's a guarantee. I think maybe Wotherspoon out of that group.
Granlin, after what he's shown? I liked him a lot.
Come to camp.
Yeah, for right? sure. For sure.
We sit here every year, and it's like, all right, training camp. Who's going to step up? And hardly ever does anybody step
right,
up.
Right, but they also actually have some kids in the system right now. Mm-hmm. Even Poirier, I think, would have a shot. Maybe not out of the gate, but he's old enough to go play in the A next year, not return to the Q. It makes me wonder about guys like Gagliardi, though, right?
Because
like,
top prospect.
He is a top prospect.
Not close to home, but...
No, close to Quebec. Do you bring back Gagliardi if you had all these guys? Camilleri? Butler?
Granlund versus Orr. What does that mean?
The leaping, diving goal.
Oh, I see.
Mikael Granlund last night versus Bobby Orr. Big playoff goals. I think Bobby's won the cup, so you're going to have to lean that way, friends.
I was going to say Michael Granlund versus Colton Orr. I'm going to take Colton
Orr. I'll take
Orr.
Colton Orr in the fight, yeah.
Yeah. What is tipping etiquette for when you have a caddy?
I used to caddy for my dad all the time when I was quite young.
It's different, though.
Was it 20, 40 bucks? Depends how good you are, I suppose.
But being a kid, I think when you go to a course and there's a caddy, like when Warner goes to Pebble Beach. I don't know that he's giving the dude at Pebble 20 bucks.
No, you would not do that. And as a kid, I would always throw in, well, you've got to get me a hot dog and a milkshake at the Half Shack.
Twice your age minus seven. That's that would be the tipping etiquette.
Okay.
Who finishes higher? I love our text line. Higher spelt H-I-R-E. Who finishes higher? The 2014-15 Flame season. I can't even read this. Please have some semblance of English.
Yeah, it helps if you speak the language.
Tylenol PM or Advil Nighttime? It's always Advil.
Or you could use a it's DayQuil and then a NyQuil.
Yeah,
and then
no,
a,
it's the NyQuil. Yeah. NyQuil buddies. Almost Where's there. A good place to get golf lessons?
At a golf course.
At a golf course.
It's a really, really good place for it.
Don't know if you guys said it yet. Give a shout out to Jordan Main from Lethbridge for another win in the UFC over the weekend. I don't even know if I'm saying dude's name right, but congratulations.
Oh boy, Jordan.
Well done.
You're stronger than both of us.
Before the round, hit the range or hit the beer? Why does it have to be subjective?
Yeah, are these mutually exclusive?
Do both.
Yeah. And hey, if you've got a formula for success, I'm not going to tell you how to run your business. I got a buddy that needs six in him before he plays well, and I have other guys that cannot get a drop in them to play well. Do what you have to do.
Do you have to bench press a car to join Pinder's rugby team?
There's no team. Although if I was selecting a team, I don't think a car bench press would be part of it. It'd probably be like rugby-based skills to make a rugby team.
Hey, Boomer, sorry about your cold. Maybe tomorrow you'll sound like Super Dave Osborne. Super Dave does have a weird kind of
Super
a sound
Dave
to him.
On file? I feel like we should have some Super Dave on file.
What was his...
Did he have a catchphrase or something?
Well, he was also in Curb Your Enthusiasm. So good. That episode, you wouldn't have seen it. When he tells Jerry Seinfeld a joke, it makes me cry every single time.
Super Dave, that was always... It felt like a game show, but it was also comedy. It was one of those weird fine lines.
Super Dave was brilliant. It was pure comedy.
It was on late, and you'd think it was tacky, but the more you watch it, you're like, this is smart.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. Where the heck am I?
Are you guys going to hit the White House in Windermere? This is from Trev on the text line. The White House is literally a White House in the village of Windermere, which is a pub. They apparently sell beef jerky out of the back. Yet to go.
Oh, I like beef jerky.
You might have to stop by the White House then. Just up the highway from Fairmont.
Was that the first time in the NBA that a team went a whole quarter without a foul in the playoffs? Yeah.
Don't care.
Are we really okay with our goalie situation? Like, come on.
In Calgary?
I'm guessing that's what he's talking when he uses the we.
The royal we? I would say, look, are you competing for a cup? No. Are you trying to be a playoff team? Kinda.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a goalie away from winning a cup, so don't start freaking out about the goaltending. Go get a veteran to back up or push Ramo. Let Ordeo get 70 starts in the A, and we'll see you in 3 years when they're competitive.
Hey, Boomer, how about that Rennie Bork? I love all these Montreal fans that have hated this guy for 3 years.
No kidding.
Or 4 years. He has three good games, and that makes everything better.
And it's exactly the point that you and many others have made, is that you've got to wait a few turns of the calendar before you see three good games out of this guy. They might be in a row, and they might be scattered over a whole season. He is not consistent at all.
If dude couldn't play well,
you wouldn't be upset
with him.
Yeah, for
sure. It's just like, well, he's just not very good. What do you expect? But no, sometimes he looks like he's one of the better power forwards in the league. And then...
So yes, Bork still alive?
By all means, you guys can... You Habs and you Hab fans, you can keep Rennie Bork. He's all yours. Are both Sue Dielle and Trey St. John as easy to spell as they sound? Here's the thing. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Uh-oh.
We get a lot of this.
You going to pull back the curtain here?
Sue Dielle, it's not the letter D, letter L.
Mm.
It's Dielle. D-E-Y-E-L-L. D.
Mm.
Her last name is Dielle.
Breaking news from the traffic desk. Here's Sue Dielle.
Trey St. John is actually not Trey St. John. It's Trace.
Ooh.
Trace St. John. Hey, just when you thought you weren't going to learn anything today.
So it's not Sue Disabled Less, so like the DL?
Yeah, it's not word. Sue Down Low.
Sue Down Low.
It's Sue DL.
Okay.
Thoughts on plus 10 handicaps playing Pro Vs? I love this question.
Oh, I thought it was playing pros. I see what you're saying. The golf ball. Pro
yeah, no, it's, yeah. It's guys that...
Playing the expensive Titleist balls.
Yeah, it's guys that maybe break 100, but have to play Pro Vs or Pro V1s.
Hey, if you're running a golf shop, you're more than thrilled with it.
Oh, who's playing the Callaway? You know what? I am, because I'm not Matt Kuchar.
Yes.
Stop it.
When you scull your tee shot 50 yards, it doesn't matter if it's a Pro V1 or a range ball you found.
Eat it.
Hey, this is good. Right off the heels of Tee Off Tuesday, you guys really need to talk about golf more in general, be it the PGA or have local pros on. This... Literally 16 minutes after we finished a 20-minute chat with Ian Legger.
Well, I'm sure that's what he was getting at, is that he enjoyed it and he wants more golf time.
Well, thank you for the compliment then. That was fantastic. Yeah. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. And apparently Matt Kuchar plays Bridgestones, not Pro V1s. So you got served there.
Will Rhett's number ever get retired by the Flames? Yes. Absolutely.
Might get retired behind a bar in town. I don't know what... I don't know.
What's more manly, a hairy back or shorn shoulders?
Shorn? Like shaving your shoulders?
I'm guessing that's what he's...
I don't think anything's... Well, the hairy back's manly. Might not be anything...
It's manly. It doesn't make it right.
Exactly.
It doesn't make it
right. Shaving
your
shoulders is not manly, but it doesn't make it wrong.
Who's worse, Alex Burrows being cheap and everybody blowing his cheap shots out of proportion, or Duncan Keith... who's just as dirty, but nobody seems to pay attention to his cheap shots? Well, for starters, I don't think Duncan Keith is as dirty as Alex Burrows. I just don't.
I don't either. And Keith's got a cup ring. He also had that season where he won Olympic gold, Norris Trophy, Stanley Cup. So I give a little more respect to number two for Chicago. I hope that's his number.
Bork had 9 goals and 7 assists this season for 16 points. They can keep him.
Yeah, no kidding. Mike Camilleri had more from the trade deadline on than that.
Again, don't let the facts get in the way of what it is you're trying to do.
That's right.
Oh, Rennie Bork, oh, you say, hey, you traded him away, did you? Yeah, because he had 16 points. And he's a dog.
Seriously.
Montreal fan here, still hate Bork. Dude could have had 6 goals this series if he had an ounce of hockey IQ.
That's true. There's a couple left out there.
Matt Kuchar plays Bridgestone. So again, there. I apologize. I don't want to get a golfer in trouble with his sponsor. Don't need Matt Kuchar getting a phone call from Bridgestone saying, hey, we heard on Calgary radio, you playing Titleist?
Have you been talking to those guys? Tell them you're playing Pro V1s? The text line erroneously congratulating Team Canada for a win over Russia at the U18 World Championships. They actually lost in a shootout, but secured a point to finish first in their pool. So we will congratulate the Canadians on finishing first in their pool.
There you go. I have a photo of a guy wearing a Warner jersey. I'll take $500 and an iPhone for it. I have a Rhett Warner coin. I'll trade you for an iPad.
We have a box of Rhett Warner's jumper cables and old, what, gum wrappers. What's that worth?
Earlier this morning, we were talking about a guy on Kijiji who has a puck signed by Lance Boma.
No, Lance 17.
Lance 17 of the Flames. Doesn't even know who it is. He's willing to trade it for an iPad or an iPhone 5.
Sounds fair.
There you go. And there's just no... What's your handicaps? I don't know.
I'd be pretty high. I haven't got enough rounds to get my index in. I fired 9-6 and 8-4 in my two rounds this year. The 84 was on a crappy course, so it should be more like 90. There you go.
Good for you.
Not really, no.
And who the hell is Matt Kuchar?
That would be the golfer that won the PGA event last weekend.
That has...
2 days ago.
That has to be it for this edition of... what do we call it? Oh, yeah, what you want to talk...
Talk about. Talk about. Talk about.
All right, buddies, that's it for your Tuesday show. Tomorrow, Wednesday, the East West. We've got Ask Rhett on Thursday, right? We still do Ask Rhett on Thursday. East West Hot Stove. I doubt I'll be here.
Take some vitamins. Get some sleep.
But we'll Chris Carter.
Yes.
Legendary NFL receiver, longtime member of the Minnesota Vikings, will be a guest. He's coming to town doing a little speaking engagement, so we'll have the great Chris Carter on the show as well tomorrow morning. The Jim Rome Show is coming up next.